Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
Hey, we told you we're going to be talking a lot about Pop Warner this week. It is his birthday on April 5th, and we have Timothy P. Brown is going to be talking about Pop Warner's brother, Bill, and some great football history associated with him. Coming up in just a moment as some football archaeology with Timothy P. Brown.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at SportsHistoryNetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. And welcome to Tuesday and going on the archaeological dig into football history with our friend Timothy P. Brown of FootballArchaeology.com. Tim, welcome back to the Pigpen.
Hey, Darren. Thank you. Looking forward to talking about the Warner Brothers, not the cartoon guys.
Oh, boy, I was getting ready my Bugs Bunny stuff out to talk about that.
Well, you can use it if you want. I'm just, that's okay. Not what I'm here to talk about.
Okay. I came to the wrong show. All right. No, but your topic is much more interesting than the Warner Brothers that make film and cartoons. We're talking about some great innovators in football and the Warner Brothers of the football coaching and playing days of early 20th century. So you have a topic that you talked about. February 6th was your tidbit, and you're actually talking about Pop Warner, his brother Bill, who's a little bit lesser known, and it's a great and interesting story that we'd love to have you share with us.
Yeah, so I kind of always like the brother, combinations. There's a number of brothers that are, and even cousins who are active, especially in coaching, nowadays, but, who've been, very successful, but, and as a kid growing up, Hank Aaron and his brother Tommy were, a brother combination that I think maybe still hold the record for most home runs by a set of brothers. But anyways, but this is one where Pop Warner, everybody knows Pop Warner, even if you don't really know much about him or, you're just barely a fan because of his influence on, the youth football Pop Warner side of things. Even somebody who ignores football history is going to have heard his name in all likelihood. But so, Pop was the older brother and, they grew up in Western New York State. And they end up going to Cornell. So both of them went to Cornell. Both were linemen. And, Bill was considered, a pretty big guy. Or I should say Pop was considered a pretty big guy. But Bill was bigger and he was better. He was first-team All-American his senior year. And then he graduates from Cornell. And as was fairly common at the time, the preceding year's captain coached the next year's team. And so he graduated in 03 from Cornell and then coached in the fall of 03. And so then he, I don't know exactly how it worked out, but for one reason or another, he left Cornell, but at the same time, his brother was leaving, who had coached Cornell previously. His brother was coming back to Cornell from Carlisle, so he did, Pop coached Cornell twice and Carlisle twice, two different stints. So anyways, Bill leaves and his brother comes in. And so Bill then goes to Sherman Institute, which was they call them Indian schools, out in California. For 04, he's at North Carolina. In 05, he was at Colgate. For 06 and 07, he goes back to Sherman in 08, goes to St. Louis University in 09, and then he's at Oregon in 1910 and 1911. So, you know, back then, a lot of coaches had full-time jobs. They weren't on campus. Part of the reason they were only there for at any given school for a year was, you know, they got hired for 1 year and then they'd go back to whatever they did. So both of them, you know, lawyered up, you know, during the off season. Interestingly, both of them had connections at Indian schools, right? I mean, they were both Cornell, both at the Indian schools, but Bill never had a Jim Thorpe playing for him. So, he didn't get quite the notoriety of Pop. And Bill, I think, also just, you know, he kind of got out of coaching a little bit earlier. Pop worked forever. But so the story then, you know, so he was, Bill stayed out in Oregon and, you know, basically was a lawyer in a town out there. And then for whatever reason, in 1917, he ends up picking up at another Indian school, Chemowa, which is, you know, over on the, he was living in more towards Eastern Oregon, and he ended up, Chemowa's over on the west side of the state. They had been they used to play a lot of, college teams. The Northwest especially didn't have that many colleges. So, you know, there were, but some pretty good, athletic clubs like Multnomah. And then during the war, because this is 1917, there were all kinds of military bases that that they could play, or even National Guard units, you know, whatever it was. So that's kind of who they played. He coached this Indian team again, and he ends up with a 1-2-3 record, which, you know, you don't have those too much anymore. And I think they scored like 25 points a whole season or something like that. Because they had a couple of nothing shutouts. But then he just went back and, his brother was, Pop was still coaching. He'd left Carlisle and gone to Pitt. He was at Pitt for a long time. And Pop had, he left Pitt after the 23 season and took over at Stanford. So then Bill at least had the opportunity to work with his brother a little bit. You know, all he really did was he scouted when he would scout like the Oregon State, Montana, Washington State, you know, those teams. He would scout them for Bill and for Stanford. So, you know, he kept himself in football, at least from say 24 to 32 while Bill was on the West Coast. But the other thing that's just kind of interesting about it was that it's just Chemowa is still open. You know, it's the longest serving school dedicated to educating North America or Native Americans. So wow. It's now just a high school. Back even like Carlisle was this real mix of kind of, you know, a lot of the emphasis tended to be on like trades and manual arts and things like that. And so they had, they covered kind of both high school and college curricula. And that was pretty typical of Haskell in Kansas was the same kind of way. You know, a lot of the Indian schools, you know, had that kind of a curriculum. So, but anyways, they played some decent football and Bill helped him, led him to a 1-2-3 record, which, like I said, got to give him credit for that because, you know.
Yeah, you don't hear that. I don't think I've ever heard of a coach having a 1-2-3 record or a team. That's amazing for football, especially, you know, six games have three ties, but a different game back in that era.
Yeah.
Now I have, I'm pretty sure that Bill and Pop got to play a professional season or at least a few games together on the same team. They had for 2 years back in 1902, 1903, and in the first year, 1902, they had the World Series of Football, which was an indoor game at Madison Square Garden, sort of during the holidays to help with festivities. And the manager of the Madison Square Garden wanted to make a couple bucks and, you know, put some fannies in the seats to have some revenue coming in. So they had this World Series of Football. So they invited like four or five teams, and they were trying to get, in 1902, there was the original NFL, which was a three team league of, two from Pittsburgh or two from Philadelphia for the baseball teams, the Athletics and the Phillies each had a football team sponsored. And there was a team from Pittsburgh, the Pittsburgh Stars. They were trying to get those teams to come in, but they couldn't make it. So they were members of those teams that went to this World Series of Football. So the Philadelphia Athletics actually with a team they formed, they made it be the New York Philadelphians, it's been called, or the New York, the New York team, they call it. They were sort of the favorites. They want everybody to root for that because it was in New York City. And they thought they were just going to dominate this thing, everybody involved with it. Well, a team from Syracuse, an all-star team from Syracuse, which had both Pop and Bill Warner on that team, came in and ended up winning the tournament. They beat New York in like the second round and, you know, just went on from there. But Pop ended up getting hurt in one of those early games. I think it might have been a game against the New York Philadelphians. And a guy that for the next game, Syracuse was sort of scrambling to try to find a tackle because, like we talked about before, tackles were very important at that time, and that's what Pop was. And so they got from the New York team that lost, they got Blondie Wallace, who is a sort of an enigma figure of early professional football. He ended up playing for Syracuse after losing with New York. So, but it was great to see that. I'm pretty sure, I know Pop played on that team. I'm pretty sure Bill did too on that 1902 World's Series of Football team.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. Now, he would still have been in college, at mm-hmm. the time.
Right.
Who knows if he played under his own name or an assumed name or how it worked. But
I think it's
I
in
remember
the paper.
Hearing about it.
I think it's in the newspapers as he has it down as his name, of course, Glenn Warner for cool. Pop Warner. So, yeah. So interesting. You think about them in the coaching realm, but they were pretty, pretty big time players too, back in that day too.
Yeah.
Before their coaching. Well, and
Pop was not the most financially responsible man. He had some gambling issues. So he probably needed a couple of extra bucks somehow, playing in the tournament.
Yeah. Sort of a programming note. We're going to try to have something special, chasing down a good friend of the program, Jeffrey Miller, authors wrote a bunch of different books. He wrote a book on Pop Warner, and for April 5th is Pop Warner's birthday. We're trying to put together a nice little episode where Jeff comes on. We pay tribute to Pop Warner. But in Jeff's book, something I didn't realize, it sort of starts off, they grew up, the brothers grew up in Springville. The whole family was there in Springville, which is sort of southeast of Buffalo. And they all of a sudden packed up when Pop was of high school age, like early high school age, and they moved to Texas. And so they had a big ranch down there, and the boys worked on the farm, and that's how they got big and strong, I guess, from doing the ranching work, is what Jeff attributes it to in the story. And Pop came back to New York to visit some buddies during probably right before Thanksgiving time. And the guys got him involved in playing some football. And he was having a good time doing that and making a couple bucks. And he told his father, wired back and said, "Hey, I need some money because I want to stay up here." And he's like, and father's like, "What do you want to stay up there for?" So he had to make up an excuse. He said, "Because I want to go to school. I want to become a lawyer. You always want me to become a lawyer." So the father sends him money. He has some more fun with it. And he's like, "Oh crap, I can't go back to my dad and tell him that." So he went and entered into Cornell's law school. That's how he ended up going to college. So that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, well, he did a few other things, or like his first year coaching, he was coaching both Iowa State and Auburn, because Iowa State,
because they're right next to each other geographically.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. It's an easy commute. And but you know, he coached Iowa State from like mid-August till towards the end of September, and then moved down to Auburn, where he kind of had his primary contract, I guess. And but there's a story in there where, like, you know, he did continue, you know, by telegram he coached Iowa State, but at some point he took Iowa State out to like Montana to Butte, and he gambled away his salary on the outcome of the game, and you know, didn't sound like it was a fair match, but one way or another he lost his money. So he had to keep coaching both places in order to make up for it.
Yeah, some interesting rabbit hole stories you can go down to with the legends of the game, like Pop Warner and Bill Warner too. So definitely we could talk all day about them. There's some great, interesting things, but yeah, so stay tuned. We'll have more on Pop here on some of these, I'm sure, some more footballarchaeology.com visits, and hopefully with Jeff Miller too on April 5th.
Yeah. So, well, the Pop Warner thing sounds fun. That'll be a great episode.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. It will. Well, Tim, why don't you share with us, this came out of one of your tidbits. It comes out each and every day at about 7 p.m. Eastern. Why don't you share with us, how the listeners, how they too can get involved and be reading your tidbits each and every day?
Sure. Just, you know, go to so my site is footballarchaeology.com. You just got to make sure you spell archaeology correctly, archaeology. And then, yeah, so if you subscribe, you'll get an email every night at 7 Eastern with the story, that day's story. But you can also just go to the site anytime you want. There, you know, you can search by topic to find old articles. And if you're not, you know, if you prefer not to get an email every night, you can also follow me on Twitter at Football Archaeology. And so anyways, you can subscribe, you can just hit the site whenever you want to, or you can follow me on Twitter.
It's definitely worth the while to take that 10 seconds to sign up for it, because it's fantastic, and you'll have some great football information each and every day at 7 p.m. So I highly recommend it. So, Tim, thank you once again for joining us and sharing your knowledge and your stories from footballarchaeology.com and your tidbits, and for joining us.
Hey, very good. Thank you once again, and look forward to seeing you and talking next week.
Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast.
We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. A special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross, the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts, is found right here on the Sports History Network.